So here we are. These last two sessions, the Lord has named with words that aren't as much a part of our vocabulary. Zeal. I mean, man, zeal. It's something we possess as a part of our character. It's not really a personality trait. It's part of our character. Your passion for God and His Word. This zeal, remember we talked about this the last session, last session, the ember. The ember we talked about, 90% of homes, experts say, are ignited during a wildfire solely due to an ember. A small spark, y'all. Embers are blown by the wind. I mean, you just see this in the spirit. Blown by the wind of God. In the physical, they're blown by the natural wind. But I believe in the spirit, as you and I get set on fire. And listen, you don't have to be this raging fire. You don't have to be this Beth Moore fire pit of Jesus. But if you just got a little bit of an ember, and you blow on that mama in that on your dance team, or you blow on that mama on your football team, what can be ignited? The embers blown by the wind, it triggers ignition. They actually create homes with shields against embers. Y'all, our city, all around here, there are homes that are full. They have their shields up. They have the shields up. I've met so many mamas. I've walked into homes and their shields are up, resisting any part of a fire. But man, I pray that through us, God would allow us to walk into a home and that shield fall down, because the power of God that's ignited in us to ignite in them. Cobb is full of houses, full of shields, but man, may we be the ember. May we allow the wind of God, that's the Ruach, to blow in our dry places and set us ablaze so we can then set others ablaze. And now fall, 2019 bestow. This word you might not be familiar with, but it means to present as a gift. To present as a gift or an honor. To apply, to use. It's a transitive verb, which, listen, I don't even know what that is, but I know it's something. I should have looked it up. It's a transitive verb, and it means to give something of great value or prestige. There's seven Hebrew words, so that's the Old Testament. There's seven Hebrew words, and this bestow is used, and this is what it means in the Old Testament. To put, place, to give. Deposit, to give a blessing. It's seen with a lot of, in the Old Testament, the father's blessing. They're bestowing a blessing. That's usually how it's used in the Old Testament. And then here in the New Testament, there's four usages of this in the four Greek words. And I love this in the context of mothering. To give, to labor, to feed, and to stow away goods. But y'all, its richest significance in Scripture is expressing God's abundant gift of grace and love. Bestow. Do you know, to you, what God has given you? His expression of love and grace that He has bestowed upon you, daughter. Upon you. Our leaders have sat around tables. We've read your surveys. There's a resounding word. There's a resounding word that keeps coming up. I heard it this summer as I communicated with in conversations at the pool. It came up. At the softball field. In lunches. This word comes up often. It's one word that you are asking, one word that I find myself asking as well. How? How? This is all great. I want zeal. I want zeal, but how? I live with a husband who doesn't love Jesus. He is the water to my fire. How? I want to ascend. I want to be like the eagle. I want to have the vision of the eagle. But I can't see past this child that is so hard. How? I want to run my race and stop looking at the mom next to me and how her kids always look so good and they're in that fancy private school and her husband takes her on nice trips. I want to run my race, but how? This session, y'all, I'm believing that we're going to aid in not answering the question. But I believe God is going to allow us to somehow understand a little better this question, how. Understand a little better the answer to the how. And I believe that the answer to the question how is tied directly to him. As my favorite pastor, one of my favorite preachers says, you want to know the how? Get to know the him. You want to know how? Y'all, it's tied to him. Revelation of what's been deposited in us. It's from the who will answer our how. So I'm believing that the more we know who, the better we're going to know how. We're going to get to know the I am a little deeper. We're going to ask him to reveal to us some more of his character that we can then apply the I am to our how. Because guys, if you can see the I am for every question you have, it changes your perspective. I've got a husband that doesn't love Jesus, okay? The great I am, Isaiah says, the Lord your maker is your husband. But I don't know how to love the others, the people that have hurt me. I've been hurt by people, okay? But the Bible says, love those who persecute you. Bless them. So when I align my question with who, it becomes a little easier. Not, y'all, it's never going to be answered and it's never going to be fully understand. We're never going to fully understand how until we get to heaven. But I believe if we can understand what's been given to us by the who, then we won't have as many how questions. But before we dive in today, I got some feedback that everybody loved the eagle and all the facts about the eagle. Like y'all, some of you science, I won't use the word nerd, but science nerds, which I love you. Can you help me? That y'all loved the facts. So I kind of thought, Lord, okay, how can I want to do something like that? So I came up, there's been something I've been kind of studying over the last several years that the Lord finally is allowing me to use. I have been studying animal mothers and some of the facts about animal mothers. And I thought, you know, here we are about giving and bestowing into our kids and into, you know, others. And y'all, some of these animal mothers, what they give, what they labor for their children is amazing. So every week I'm going to give you some crazy animal mother facts, okay? For those of you who've asked. Some of these ways these animal mothers are bestowing to their children. We mothers have the amazing ability to give life. And some of us get the ability to house a human, and some of us the Lord maybe has not allowed us, but we have a surrogate or we have a birth mom. 9 months, some of us a little less, but roughly 9 months, we get to walk alongside someone or we ourselves get to walk through these months of pregnancy. We sacrifice, y'all. We give up caffeine. I remember with Sydney, I was my firstborn. I was so, you know, good. I mean, when Sophie Kate came along, I had a Dr. Pepper every day. I craved it. I'm like, okay. It was funny as I would always, we were going down to Hope Chapel that was in Alpharetta when our mentors started a church. I was leading worship. I was pregnant with Sophie. And there was this one gas station on 92 right near Stony River, if you know where that is. I would stop there every morning. I'd get me a big old Dr. Pepper, and then I'd go lead worship, and Sophie Kate would be like, all in my belly. And if y'all know Sophie Kate, she's my really laid-back kid. So I think she needed a little caffeine, actually. I mean, we give up sugar. You first-time moms, we love y'all, but just know, the next time you ain't gonna give up sugar. You're gonna be eating, drinking, everything. So, but listen, and animal mamas, y'all, I think they put us to shame a little bit. Do you know the rhinoceros? The big old rhinoceros can be pregnant for 16 months. A sperm whale. A sperm whale. I don't know why they named a female whale that, but anyway, I guess it is, because she's pregnant 16 to 18 months. 16 to 18 months. An elephant, 22 months. Talking about giving. And y'all, let's say we're all glad if y'all have never, I had never heard of this little animal, because she lives in the Alps, called the Alpine salamander. I almost sent pictures to Anne, but I was like, no, I won't do that. The Alpine salamander's pregnancy can last up to 3 years. 3 years. Talk about giving, laboring for your children. It's just what we moms do. And look, now we can see that the animal mothers, they labor just like we do, and maybe even a little harder. We labor, we give. We give in so many spaces. Y'all, this session, I pray for, yet as I do every session, an awakening to happen. As we give and give in so many places, and we stand still asking the question, how? I pray God awakens us, wakes us up to all that, because of Jesus, we've been lavishly given. And therefore, we have, listen to me, all we need to give in all the spaces and places we are needed. And today, after this message, I pray you believe that. You, mom, have all you need. If you are in Christ, all you need to give to that hard marriage, to that difficult child, to that hard family unit, you have it. You have it. Moms, while you might feel stretched and pulled, torn, stressed, empty, listen, because of what the Word of God says in 2 Peter 1:3. You don't believe me? Look at God's Word. If you believe God's Word is true, then you gotta believe. You have all you need to give in all the spaces you're needed. Look at what the Word of God says. For His divine power has bestowed on us, given us absolutely everything necessary. For what? A dynamic spiritual life and godliness. And here it is. How do we get that? Through true and personal knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and excellence. Look at that, mom. Just look at that. He has bestowed on you everything necessary. And then look at verse 8. For as these qualities are yours, they're yours, and are increasing in you. So they're yours, and guess what? They're increasing in you as you grow towards spiritual maturity. They will keep you from being useless and unproductive in regard to the true knowledge and greater understanding of our Lord Jesus Christ. They're yours as you grow towards spiritual maturity. And I just want to leave that verse up there for a second. I just want to sit here and talk about spiritual maturity for just a second. Oswald Chambers says spiritual maturity is not reached by the passing of years, but by obedience to Christ. John Stott says Christians who neglect the Bible simply do not mature. There's a story of a little boy who fell out of bed in his sleep. And his father, of course, ran in there, picked him up, and put him back in bed. And he asked his son, "What happened?" And the little boy responded, "I fell asleep too close to where I got in." But y'all, there's mamas, daughters that have fallen asleep in the same place. They are the John 3:16 moms. "Oh, I believe whoever believes in him will receive everlasting life. I believe, John 3:16, I believe." But I want to ask you, like I ask you every session, are you knowing the God who you believe? Are you experiencing, are you increasing in your maturity towards knowing him? Y'all, 1 Peter 2:2 says, like newborn babies, you must crave. I love the language the New Living says. You must crave pure spiritual milk so that you will grow into a full experience of salvation. Cry out for this nourishment. Y'all, listen to that word crave. In its original, it's long. It's in the original, it's in the Greek, it's long, and it means strain after, desire greatly, have affection for. Y'all, listen, I know it's going to look different towards our personality bends. I'm not asking you to look like me or look like your neighbor. I'm asking you to crave it for yourself, to long for it. To strain after God. I don't want to just be a John 3:16 mom that believes in you. We are supposed to be experiencing salvation. And y'all, in our churches today, there is a depiction of a boring relationship with Jesus. It is not boring, y'all. It is not boring. It is an experience. There's too many people teaching knowledge, 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 knowledge. Yes, you got to know the word and you got to know the God of the word. But listen, you need to be experiencing the God of the word. You need to be meeting with him. He is greater than anything you could ever imagine, and he wants to meet with you. Are you kidding? You can experience him. He longs for you. He longs for you. And y'all, it's not an option for us mamas. It's not an option. Y'all, it takes an active pursuit of getting to know the who and the what. Who has given you? Who has deposited in me? God, who are you? I want to know all that you've deposited and lavishly bestowed on me. And God, I want to know the what it is. What is deposited in me? One of my favorite things is grace. Man, he gives me grace. I want to know that. And my second favorite is his power. Because y'all, as a mama, I need power. I need the Spirit's power to raise the children that are in my home. So I got to get to know it's not an option. Your babies, they need to see you craving your time with the Lord. They need to see it. And it's. I get convicted of this because I use my phone and my computer instead of my Bible because my Bible is on my Mac, right? So sometimes I just remind my kids, y'all, the word is, it is on mommy's screen. I need you to see. It's important to me. I'm in the word. I want to be in the word. I know I'm not, my Bible's not open, but it's on the screen. I want my kids to see me craving because y'all, I want to grow towards spiritual maturity. I want to grow, and I want my children to know him. Passion evokes passion. And again, I'm not saying you got to look like me or look like people that you're thinking of right now. God has bent your personality. But there is a passion to know him that he's deposited in you, and he longs to show you himself. But you've got to make the effort. You have got to grow in spiritual maturity and not be like the little boy who fell out of his bed where he got in. Move past, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish. You gotta start there. It is the concrete of where you start and where you stand. But y'all, you gotta move. You gotta move to a knowledge and an experience. There aren't too many quotes on bestow. I tried to find some, but I did find one, and it says this: the first great gift we can bestow on others is a great example. Mom, it has to be us. Who are you allowing to be your children's example? The youth pastor? The Bible teacher? Even the church pastor? They're all great. They are all great, and they are all necessities in supplementing your child's walk with Jesus. But guess what? You, mama, are the example. All eyes are on you. All eyes are on you. And I know that's heavy, but it needs to be heavy. We need to feel it. We need to feel it. And allow the power that's within us to allow us to live it out in front of them. God's not asking us to do anything that he's not given us the power to do. It's not an option. We've got to make this love relationship with Jesus a priority. I know in Todd's power, my husband's power, there is nothing he would not give me. Nothing. Because I know he loves me. Your father, daughter, has given you everything you need. He's given it to you because he says in Isaiah 43, these are his words to you. Since you are precious in my sight, since you are honored and I love you, hear your father say, I love you. I will give other men in your place and other peoples in exchange for your life. You are God's favorite. Look at your sister and say, I'm his favorite. I'm his favorite. Y'all, he's given you everything you need because he loves you. But you've got to believe it for yourself if you want your children to believe it. You just do. I quoted this last night. One of the quotes that I keep at the forefront of my mind, I've got it written down and it's forefront of my mind, is statistics say children fall away from faith because of the hypocrisy they see in their home. As you can tell, I'm not about light, fluffy puppy dogs and tails. I want us to understand the gravity to which God's called us. We gotta believe it. We gotta believe it. I want my babies to believe it. I gotta know it. It's gotta be the mortar. I've got what I need. And y'all, I'm in a season, and it's been a conviction of mine to spend more time with him, to get to know him better, to understand his ways better. And in the farther I get in my parenting journey, it just flings me more to his feet. Lord, I gotta know you so I can know how to deal with this. I gotta know you. So these hows, let this how drive us to the who. Let our hows drive us to y'all. My greatest fear, you don't even understand. I mean, I'm gonna be real. I always am with y'all. So don't let me scare anybody because I want to be authentic. I was in my devotion last week. I have a 17-year-old, about to be 18, and she's driven. It's been a year. But y'all, hear me say, I hate driving. It has been my worst season with my kids so far. I mean, you don't understand. Like when I say the fear that I have to fight through, it is almost palpable. And so the other morning, I was in, Sydney was getting ready to leave, and my whole devotions were on suffering. Everything I read was on suffering and how God will put you through some things to you know, just strip off some things. And so listen where my thoughts went. And the night before I was on Facebook, and one of our friends from college, their 17-year-old had just been in a wreck. Car flipped, you know, they're strong Christians, but I had just seen that. Then the next morning my devotion was all on this. This was actually yesterday morning. And Sydney had late start. So in my mind, I'm thinking, I'm not going to let her go to school. I'm a driver to school because there's going to be, today's the day. Like she's got a lot of favor. And so Lord, you've given her so much favor because you're going to cut her life short. Like she's going to be like the Rachel Scott. This is where my thoughts were. I'm just being honest. Almost to where I did not let her drive to school. And what was amazing was I was in the Word when she came downstairs. And so, again, because I've been flung at his feet so much, all those how questions and the what if questions, I said to myself as she's walking down the stairs, even if, you love me and you have a plan for her and I don't get a say in it, even if. So she fixes her coffee, I pray with her, and she leaves, and I track her the whole time. But y'all, do you understand? I'm not asking anything of you that I'm not asking of myself. I know it's hard. It is hard. It's hard. And I'm asking how, Lord, how would you please, Lord, don't ask that of me. Because now, y'all, I got a 15-year-old in less than a month that's going to drive again. Another one. I'm like, no, why do I have this many kids? I'm like, God, how? How would I endure that phone call? How, God, how? And yet, y'all, because I'm getting to know the who better, I can go, how? Because I know you. And I know that you're not going to ask anything of me that is too hard to bear. Your word says that. I will not put on you more than you can bear. But when you are tempted, when that phone call comes, guess what? I'm going to give you the strength to bear up under it. So joy, even if you're going to bear it. The who, y'all, he's got to be the mortar. A mortar is the bonding agent. It's a material used to bind together bricks and bricks. It's that binding agent. And y'all, the knowing Christ is that agent. It is the bonding agent. Knowing him, y'all, allows me to put all these scenarios. It allows me to put all these scenarios in their proper place. Get back, most of them, get back to the pit of hell where you came. The truth of who God is my mortar. It's got to be our mortar. Remember that verse, 2 Peter, it says, through true and personal knowledge of him. There it is. Through a true and personal knowledge of him, I can get through all my hows. You can get through all your hows. How am I going to endure your terrible twos? Can I go back? Please, can I just go back? Y'all, listen. I want to go back. Oh, I mean, how am I going to endure preschool drop-off? They're going to want, you know, I mean, y'all, how? God, and girlfriends, godly girlfriends, and moms with swords, but your Bible. I mean, I could go on and on. Mom, hear me. The calling of God. Do you believe motherhood is a calling? Raise your hand. Do you believe motherhood? Do you believe that you have been gifted those babies in your home because God has called you to those kids, no matter how hard? Or, you know, maybe they didn't have the hair you wanted or the eye color you wanted, or maybe they're not athletic, maybe they're, you know, whatever, whatever. You have been called to those babies, right? Write this down. With the calling of God comes the enabling of God. With the calling of God comes the enabling of God. He is not leaving you out there to do it alone. He is right there. You house him. Do you understand? You house him. Like, oh my gosh. His power, his mercy, his love. When you don't want to love them, when they're up all night and they're, you know, I mean, the love that he's bestowed upon you, in you, it's going to just be, you're going to be able to love them. Maybe spank them, but still love them. It's in you, y'all. It's in you. God is going to enable you. Pursue him. Pursue getting to know him better and better. Listen, there is no condemnation. If some of you are sitting there, I always have to say this every session. Listen, there is no condemnation. You just start where you are. God will meet you right where you are. He's not going to ask you to be somewhere. He wants to start with you right where you are. Can you just give him that baby today? Can you just say, okay, God, I'm finally going to turn him over to you because I know you love him better than me. I'm going to turn her over to you because I know you love her better than me. So I'm going to release her. And with that, I'm going to release all the questions, and I'm going to keep releasing all the reasons, all the hows and all the whys and all the questions. I'm going to keep releasing them every day, moment by moment, when I drop them off, when I pick them up, when I put them to bed. It's just a daily release, release, release them to him. As you know him better, it's so much easier. Let's look at verse 8 one more time. In closing, for as these qualities are yours and are increasing in you as you grow towards spiritual maturity, they will keep you from being useless and unproductive in regard to the true knowledge and greater understanding of our Lord Jesus Christ. Look at your sister beside you and say, I got it. 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 I just got to tap into it. As you grow towards spiritual maturity, look, see, we are the adults. We are the adults in this mother-child relationship. You cannot expect your two-year-old to do certain things that a seven-year-old will do, right? So listen, God's not expecting you to do things that he knows you're not ready for. Right? My children lived on like Little House on the Prairie, Gilligan's Island, I Dream of Jeannie for forever. And all their kids were watching Mean Girls or Pretty Little Liars. I would say there is nothing pretty about a liar. Every time Sydney would say, she watches Pretty Little Liars. I'm like, let's look at this. Is there anything pretty about a liar? So I don't think you're going to watch that show. So there's things that you withhold, right? You withhold from your babies. Like, I remember I let Sydney watch The Grinch, best movie ever with Jim Carrey. And she was like a year. And I got such flack from somebody. Isn't she scared? Like, I just knew my child. She wasn't scared at all. And like, it's like the best movie. But you know what your child can handle, right? This maturity, you know. And that's the same with us, y'all. God's not expecting you to go home tonight and quote the whole book of Psalms over your baby. He just wants you to grow. He just wants you to grow in knowledge of him. That's it. We have a lot of us moms. Y'all, I see them. I talk to them. God has called you to them. There's many around you that are stunted. They have fallen asleep in the same place they got in. And God wants to call you to them. God wants to call you to them. Some things God is withholding, just waiting on us to grow up. But isn't that awesome? As I grow, God has more to give me. There's another, like another layer that another revelation of his love. As I grow, there's another revelation of his grace. As I grow, there's another revelation of his mercy and his compassion. Man, we've got it. We've got what we need. And y'all, we've got it when we need it. But I just have to touch on this point. I really am. I'm done. I'm closing after this. I promise. Because the Holy Spirit, yesterday as I was studying, the Holy Spirit really put this hard and heavy on me. I want us to look at Colossians 2, 9 through 10. Because I believe that there are some of you in here that believe this is true for everybody else. You don't know my story. You don't know what I've done. You know, I had an abortion. This is not for me. I lived with him before we got married. It's not for him. I've cheated on my husband. It's not for me. So the Lord it was weighty. It was weighty in my kitchen. I want you to talk about this. I'm going to read it in the New King James Version first. I love to use a lot of different translations of the word. There's so many great translations. But this is like the oldest version text of the Bible. Listen to this. For in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are complete in him. I just want you to say that to yourself. I am complete in him, who is the head of all principality and power. Now I want to read it in the Passion Translation. For he is the complete fullness of deity living in human form. And our own completeness is now found in him. We are completely filled with God as Christ's fullness overflows within us. He is the head of every kingdom and authority in the universe. That is your daddy. That is your daddy. And in him, you are complete. Don't you let the devil tell you because of this, that, or the other, you lack. You lack nothing. Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Some translations say, the Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. That's your daddy. Because of who your daddy is in Christ, you are complete in him. So guess what? You have everything he has already made available. It's yours. He has bestowed it on you. No matter what you did yesterday, no matter what you did 10 years ago, if you have bent your knee and accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you are complete and you lack nothing. You shut that devil up for telling you that. I really felt like this was for somebody, and maybe you'll come up and tell me it was for me. Some of you have been, you've heard this message and you're saying, nope, it's not for me, it's not for me. You are complete in Jesus. You've got it. I've got it. You've got everything I've got. There is nothing that I can tap into that you cannot tap into. We're just going to do it at different times because we're bent different ways. That's why it's so important to run after some people and let some people run after you. I got to have people that I'm running after that are running after Jesus that have some things that I don't have. And then I got some people that are running after me. And the three most important people that are running behind me are my babies and your babies. So you, mama, you better know you are complete so you can turn around and look at them and say, daughter, I don't care what Instagram said, and I don't care what that boy said to you. You, daughter, are complete in Jesus. And guess what? You don't need anybody to complete you. That boy that's running, that son that's running behind you, that's trying to be cool and make himself known to all his friends, you can turn around and say, look, son, Jesus has already given you everything you need. He has given you a name that is righteous and holy. You don't need any other name. You are complete in him. You've got what you need. It has been lavishly bestowed to you. You just got to walk like you got it. So today, as you walk out of here, Mom, I say this all the time too. When you pick up your babies at carpool, they're going to be like, wow, you been to the gym? Because your shoulders are back a little bit. You got this. I mean, that's what I want for you. I want that for you. I want you to believe it. Because when you believe it, your babies believe it, and then generations are changed. Schools are changed. Atmospheres, football teams, softball teams, baseball teams are changed. When you walk in that PTA classroom or, I don't know, whatever, knowing you're complete in Christ, and you see that little mom over there that just is busy doing everything for the school because she thinks that's what it completes her. And the Holy Spirit prompts you to walk over to her and say, do you know you're complete in Christ? You ain't got to fold or stamp an envelope or whatever you PTA, you room mamas do, because you can tell I've never been a room mama. I do know I'm complete in him. I don't have to be a room mama to know that. You are complete. Look at your sister in the eyes, and look at them and say, I'm going to look at y'all. You look at your sister. You're complete. You're complete, Rebecca. You're complete. You are complete. You are complete. You're complete. You're complete. You got what you need. In Jesus' name, amen.